Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, yes, I know I am late tonight, but I did make it. My wife came home from work today, and she said she wanted to go out for dinner, and I wasn't thinking, and we went out, and I just got back, so I thought since I was only 24 minutes late that I would go ahead and show up. Sorry about my throat. I went to a Chinese restaurant and had some spicy orange chicken. It was really good. But what we've been hearing over the last week almost is members of these Democrat sanctuary cities that have been telling all of us ever since this whole kerfuffle with the going in, they've been telling us that we're sanctuary cities. You guys can come here to our cities because we will welcome you. Well, Governor Greg Abbott started sending them. Governor DeSantis started sending them. And what did these people do? They showed their hypocrisy. They were sent to Martha's Vineyard. And I just saw a funny thing about that just a few minutes ago. But they were sent to Martha's Vineyard. And within 45 minutes, they got rid of them, sent them off to the Air Force Base. That's real welcoming, isn't it? Then sent them to New York City and to Chicago. And Mayor Adams of New York City has now implied that Abbott is only sending migrants to cities with black mayors. No, he's sending these migrants or these illegals to the cities to say, hey, we're sanctuary cities. Come to us. We will welcome you. And what's going on is we are now finding out that no, they don't want them. And the headline from Conservative Journal Review is Adams implies Abbott only sending migrants to cities with black mayors. Well, the cities that he's sending them to, for one thing, are the cities that have been telling everybody since this whole thing began that they're sanctuary cities. So they're essentially telling us if the illegals come into our country, they can come there. They will be welcome. Well, apparently they're not. But the article from Conservative Journal Review starts out with, well, now we've heard it all. Let me correct that. This does not actually surprise me, as it is about par for the course for the Democrats. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is all but calling Governor Abbott a racist for targeting black mayors with illegal immigrants. Is he kidding? If you know anything about Greg Abbott, the last thing this man is a racist. That did not stop Eric Adams from pulling the card from the middle of the deck, though. And this is how Democrats work today. If you do anything to expose them or anything they don't like, then you're a racist. It doesn't matter what party you belong to. You can be a Democrat and you just do something they don't like and you're a racist. Adams was asked, quote, I guess it's interesting because ultimately, while it is, it's certainly a crisis and definitely a problem. If they're going to keep sending people here from the Texas border by the thousands week after week, at some point it becomes the norm, right? Adams responded, "Yes, so true." And that was the fear that we had in the beginning when it first started with Governor Abbott, that we knew that, unfortunately, that some people were going to use it as a playbook to send buses to both New York, Washington, and to Chicago. Keep in mind, these three cities are where we have black mayors. Now, let me stop here. These three cities are also where they have told us we're sanctuary cities. They can come to us. And now that they're being sent there, their hypocrisy glows like a kryptonite rock. But he says, this is undermining our economy and is dealing with crises from COVID to monkeypox to crime to housing. And I think it's something that we need to be very clear on. These three cities were targeted, and I have a conversation this afternoon with the mayors of the other two cities. My guess is that the media will jump all over us, all over this, and it will be all we hear heading into the election. Yeah. And they should. Folks, they are the ones who have been telling us ever since Biden took over and opened up the border again, that, hey, we're sanctuary cities. You guys can come here. We will welcome you. Now that they're going to these cities, it doesn't matter if they've got black mayors or not. If they have been if they have said that they were sanctuary cities, they've left themselves open for anything. And Martha's Vineyard, by the way, does not have a black mayor. They've sent them there too. And here's the other thing that I found. This is really interesting, and I'll talk about this one after we finish, or after I finish my intro. But the headline on it is plane towing a banner reading "Vineyard Hypocrites Circles Martha's Vineyard." And I'll get back to that one after a little bit. This is really awesome. We will be right back.
For now, it is clear that we are being ruled by...
Okay, I'll get the entrance and then I'll play that other thing.
What we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, you're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We'll be right back. Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. I was going to start this show with the monologue from the Chris Salcedo show on Newsmax, and I will play that now and get it over with, and I'll be back after that.
For now, it is clear that we are being ruled by a collection of mental infants who have abandoned their most sacred duties enshrined in that Constitution. They instead focus on things that are not legally within the scope of their duties or the scope of their power, including their own enrichment. When we need leadership, we're given pandering. When we need resolve, we're given weakness. And when we need grown-ups, we're given children. The only thing that can turn this around, the only thing, is you, without fear or favor. Only a true friend will tell you, when you're walking around with a booger on your nose, this nation is saddled with a massive booger, as the country teeters on fiscal calamity, as our energy prices are set to skyrocket again, as our vital infrastructure is nearing collapse, as crime rampages through our streets, as nearly 6 million illegal aliens break into America, with a million of them escaping undetected into the United States, with China firmly in control of both Moscow and Washington, D.C., we're told that we should be focused on things like slaughtering children in the womb, using scientifically false pronouns, and a fake religion called man-made global warming. This is done to us largely by a political party that claims to condemn racism while behaving as racists. Government fiddling while Rome burns. That's the focus of today's preamble. As you all know, it is my considered opinion that the worst mistake this nation ever made was allowing government to educate our children. No longer does GovEd teach a love of America or liberty, freedom, and prosperity. Today, GovEd is cranking out students who hate America and embrace destructive collectivism embodied in the socialist and communist economic systems. Part of this so-called teaching is to ingrain permanent division through concepts like critical race theory and the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG cultural Marxism. Part of this instruction is the normalizing of sexual predation against our children. All we need to do is look to so-called higher education to find where GovEd gets its inspiration. Here's former Old Dominion University professor Alan Walker.
I use the term minor attracted person or MAP in the title and throughout the book for multiple reasons. First of all, because I think it's important to use terminology for groups that members of that group want others to use for them.
The deviant left is trying to normalize this sick, twisted, and might I add, illegal activity of adult intimacy with children. And if some of us become critical of this perversion, we are told that criticism is tantamount to hatred of gay people. The left did something similar with illegal immigration. Left-wing media outlets and Democrats suggested that Latinos, like me, universally support illegal immigration. And if one was critical of illegal immigration, one was a racist against brown people. Well, I and millions of liberty-loving Latinos have rejected the Democrats and corrupt press, lumping us in with them as supporters of lawbreaking. And the gay community is rising up to reject being lumped in with child predators in the sick and twisted gender affirmation movement.
My name is Mario Presents, and I'm here as a representative from Gays Against Groomers Coalition with over 250,000 followers across social media, and as the uncle of two students in your district. It has come to our attention that the district intends to teach transgenderism to children under the age of 10 without parental consent. If I were to teach your child about my sexuality without your consent or involvement, I'd be arrested. But when the school district does it, it's education. Districts are teaching transgenderism when they should be teaching science, math, and language. Instead, teachers are hiding student pronouns from their parents under the guise of gender affirmation.
All right, this man, whose shirt read, groom dogs, not kids, he wasn't finished. He went on to shame GovEd for abandoning science in favor of sexual perversion, for cutting out parents by enabling children to make decisions that their age and lack of experience does not equip them to make.
Simple truths based in science need to be upheld for our society to flourish. The gross indoctrination we're seeing is creating a lifetime of medication and hormones because you can't simply pause puberty. Men cannot become women, and sex chromosomes are encoded into the fabric of our DNA.
Because GovEd is focused on indoctrination rather than education, generations of kids are graduating without an education, resulting in catastrophic outcomes for the United States, like millions of people voting for a mental incompetent in the 2020 election. That evaluation has nothing to do with Joe Biden's loss of mental acuity. Joe Biden has been the butt of political jokes for decades, long before his apparent compromised state. And because GovEd is cranking out graduates who are of equal intellectual heft as Joe Biden, when Joe Biden makes wild claims, these man-made Democrats simply not in agreement.
So I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
Okay, of course Joe Biden was raised Puerto Rican. Of course he was. He was in Puerto Rico, after all, and it's National Hispanic Heritage Month. And the Democrats are losing Latino support by the millions. So let's just throw out another absurdity. GovEd educated folks will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. The equally intellectually bereft press will make sure of that. But the political equivalent to Shallow Hal has plenty more insanity where that came from.
And the reservoirs out west are down to almost zero. We're in a situation where the Colorado River looks more like a stream. There's a lot going on. And I think the one thing this has finally ended is a discussion about whether or not there's climate change and we should do something about it. But folks, I also want to, Jill and I have had you all in our prayers, and I mean that sincerely.
All right, first, the theory that man's CO2 emissions are leading to global warming is an article of faith for people like the fake Catholic there, Joe Biden. Notice how he hits his real religion first before claiming to have the people of Florida in his prayers. Prayers to his climate god, I guess. But every one of the ills that Biden articulated were not failures of you driving around in an SUV or getting our power from natural gas power plants. All of those problems were failures of the government, from massive wildfires to lack of water infrastructure. It all can be traced to mismanagement of our natural resources by, say it with me, government. And the suggestion that Hurricane Ian was the first Category 4 storm to hit the United States is absurd and demonstrably false. The storm that hit Florida in 1928 killed more people and may be more devastating than Ian, though the price tag is still being tallied for Hurricane Ian. It's all rhetoric, my friends. It's all bluster and malarkey. Speaking of bluster. There is Joe Biden, certainly not the first time an open mic has caught his potty mouth, claiming that nobody F's with Biden. Could he be telling the truth there? No. Nobody F's with Biden except Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, OPEC, every leftist in the White House, AMLO, the Mexican socialist. You know what Biden should have said? No Republican or FBI agent F's with a Biden. At least that would have had the ring of truth. Oops, wait a minute. I may have lost some of you Democrat viewers out there with that OPEC reference. Remember when Democrats told us we need to elect them so America would be respected around the world again? Well, how's that working out for everybody? OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia, just announced a massive cut in oil production about a month out of Election Day. Now, if Trump were president, the USA would still be a net energy exporter, and we would be able to blunt the effects from this cut. However, since Joe Biden and the Democrats are in charge, America's energy industry is in shambles, and Democrats, Republicans, Independents, and everyone else, we are once again at the mercy of OPEC, at the mercy of nations like Mother Russia and Saudi Arabia. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I can just feel all the respect coming at the United States. You know, we Americans have a lot to do. Our people have a lot to do. Our people have to take back control of our government. Why? For all the insanity I just detailed and reports like this. A government report revealed that 90% of Americans will die from starvation, disease, and societal collapse if our electric power grid goes down. As Joe Biden panders, claiming to have been raised by Hispanics, as Mitch McConnell spends his time undermining conservatives, the government isn't doing its job. Sadly, that's because the government's bosses, we the people, well, we let things go for far too long.
Yeah, and that's absolutely the truth. We have let things go for far too long. And he mentioned in there that all of the tragedies and all of the bad things that are happening, like these huge wildfires going on, they can all be traced back to mismanagement from the government. If government had managed the forests the way they should have been managed, by cutting away the underbrush and getting rid of it so that it doesn't smolder hotter than the regular fire, these huge, hot super fires that California is having would not be happening. But what California did, they went in and decided conservancy has to be for the underbrush too. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be taken out of there. It has to stay there so it'll protect the ground. And over years and years and decades of them leaving all of this stuff there that should have been taken out in the first place, it causes fires so hot that it's next to impossible to put them out. And hello, Bringing It Boy, good to see you there. And with this clip that I had played, sure, it was about 9 minutes long, but in that he named off all of the things that the Democrats are doing, and many of the Republicans are too, that are destroying this country, while the Democrats sit back and just, oh, it's not us. Yeah, it is you guys. And it's the politicians on both sides of the aisle, with the exception of a few who are actually fighting for the United States. But because government has been doing the things that they've been doing, this nation is in dire straits now. He also mentioned that if Trump was still in charge, that we could weather the cuts that Saudi Arabia is now going to give. I can add something else in there. If Trump was still in charge, Saudi Arabia would not be cutting their oil production because they'd be hurting. Because oil prices would be down. They would have to sell as much as they could to get the money that they need. But they wouldn't get it because we would still be pumping our own oil and oil prices would be down. Remember, when they were down, they were complaining. Oil prices were too low. They couldn't sustain things because they were too low. So if Trump was still in charge now, and all of our oil refineries and our oil pumps and oil fields were still pumping out oil like they should be, Saudi Arabia would be, instead of cutting 2 million barrels a day, they would be saying, hey, now wait a minute, we're not making enough money. We have to pump more. People think about it, is it? Of course, if Trump was still in charge, the border wall would have been finished by now. And it sounds like they're coming to get me. we have to start thinking with our brains instead of with our hearts, and start realizing that what we have here in America are a bunch of people who have decided upon themselves that they can do whatever the hell they want, and the rest of us have to put up with it. I heard somebody talking the other day on Newsmax, talking about how Americans have to put up with the rules that the Democrats are making, because the Democrats make them. They don't want anybody else making the laws, but they want to be able to make them themselves so that everything works the way they should. Or at least the way they want them to. And it just boggles my mind to think that Americans have allowed this to happen. Now, today I was watching like I said, hello to you, bringing it, boy. We have to remember here that, you know, now we're getting inundated with all these mayors, and right now three of them are black. And, of course, Mayor Adams is saying, oh, Abbott's a racist because he's sending all these illegals to cities with black mayors. Well, not necessarily. It's just that the three that he's sending them to were the cities that were screaming the loudest, saying, we'll take them, we'll take them. And it's like I said when I first started this show, when they first started getting these guys, the first thing they did was send them off somewhere else, showing everyone how big a hypocrites they really are. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely love it when a Democrat gets shown to be a hypocrite, and they just seem to walk into it every time. They'll walk right straight into it every time, and it never matters. It never seems to hurt anybody, in their eyes anyway. And it's things that we have to start realizing, because if we don't, things are going to get worse and worse. There are some things I want to talk about tonight. Back. Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. In these uncertain times of rising gas prices, inflation, and crime out of control, people look to the courts for balance and stability. Sadly, there is little of those things in our courts today. Kerry Morris brings to the New Mexico Supreme Court 40-plus years of experience, including being an assistant district attorney for the Bernalillo County District Attorney's Office and representing thousands of individuals in his private practice. Kerry understands the issues facing most people and the need for a Supreme Court that is equipped with the experience to address the issues presented in cases that come before it, with a balanced consideration of the rights and interests of the parties and all concerned, with a court that is willing to uphold the Constitution and prepared to look at all sides of an issue before rendering what may be a far-reaching decision that affects the lives of all who live in the state of New Mexico. Vote for Kerry J. Morris for New Mexico Supreme Court. He will bring the experience and balance to the court that this state needs. He cares about justice and will always put justice before politics. Paid for by the 2022 committee to elect Kerry J. Morris to the New Mexico Supreme Court with Clara Cates, treasurer.
Thank you. Saturday is Black by Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right, too, when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us, too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are, too. And in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Calling number 646-478-5284. I screwed up tonight. Thought I had it set up for 2 hours. I didn't. I only had it set for 1 hour. So after when the top of the hour comes in, everybody in the chat room is going to stop hearing me unless they call in. The number is 646-478-5284. And it's been an interesting week here in India. My house that I had there went into foreclosure this month because the people who are living there haven't made any payments on it, and I couldn't convince them that what they had to pay for rent was a hell of a lot less than they have to pay if a new owner got a hold of it. Well, yesterday it was sold in auction, and I've still got to find out how much it was sold for, but the people who are living there have already let us know that they've talked with the new owners. Well, the new owners are going to fix what's wrong with the house and then charge a hell of a lot more than we were charging for rent. And I seriously doubt if they'll be able to stay since they couldn't even pay the rent that they needed to pay in the first place. So we're under the house right now. So that's really cool. What I have found, I've been looking at articles from all over the internet, and one of them from the American Digest talks about Democrat John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, the headline says Democrat John Fetterman falling short. Polling shows neck and neck race with Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. And it says the race between Democrat Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman and GOP candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz is contentious. However, looks like the Republicans are gaining. Oz is closing in on Fetterman in the Pennsylvania race for the U.S. Senate, the Washington Examiner reported. And let's see. The TV doctor has gained 4 points since August, with some polls showing the two men within the margin of error. And there goes that 90 seconds. The Cook Political Report revised its analysis from leans left to a toss-up after Fetterman's lead went from 10 points to only 6. This is a game-changer heading into November's elections. Both men are vying for the seat of retired GOP Senator Pat Toomey. The state's race is a pivotal one, as it could be the deciding factor of whether the Senate is majority Republican or Democrat, as it is currently stuck at a 50-50 split. In conversations with several GOP strategists and lawmakers who a month and a half ago had begun to put the Keystone State in the lost column, this has emerged as a margin of error race that they once again see winnable. Jessica Taylor, a poll analyst, said in her final report, Republicans and Democrats alike admit the race has tightened and that Pennsylvania could be the tipping point state for the Senate majority. A joint poll from Emerson College, let me add him in there, WHTM-TV and Hill has Fetterman only 2 points ahead, and Oz after a September of gains for the Republican. The Oz campaign believes it's because Pennsylvanians are learning about Fetterman. And I got 909 on there. Is that bringing it, boy? I guess not. The momentum is with Dr. Oz in the closing weeks of the campaign as voters learn more about John Fetterman's dangerous views on decriminalizing dangerous drugs like heroin, his commitment to raising taxes on hardworking Pennsylvanians while failing to pay his own taxes, and while his policies that put criminals over victims and our communities. Oz isn't ideal, but he's the best bet for Pennsylvania right now, and it seems that with only weeks to go, it's still anyone's race. One of the things that, one of the things that I've been noticing is the hypocrisy of the media. Remember when they went after Mrs. Trump when she was first lady for going to a place with stilettos on and then taking her stilettos off and putting on tennis shoes to finish out the where they were at? The media went apeshit crazy over this. Well, Jill Biden, en route to Florida, shows the same attire that the mainstream media grilled Melania Trump for, and they didn't say a thing. In August of 2017, after Hurricane Harvey's rampage in Louisiana and Texas, then First Lady Melania Trump went with her husband to inspect the damage in the stricken region. As she left the White House for the trip, she was wearing high heels. By the time she'd reached Texas, of course, she'd changed into different footwear, as stilettos aren't exactly made for surveying storm damage. Nevertheless, the media crucified her upon a cross of fashionable footwear. The New York Times, and here's some of the examples. The New York Times headline was, Melania Trump off to Texas finds herself on thin heels. Vanity Fair, who wears stilettos to a hurricane? Melania Trump. The president's clothes, khakis, windbreaker, and sturdy shoes say, I know what's going on, at least, Vanity Fair's Kenzie Bryant wrote. And then there's Melania. Her avatar sunglasses and green army jacket say, business, and let's get down to business. And hello, my name is Tom Cruise, and I'm here to give you the business. The heels scream, who's in for brunch? Vanity Fair would later amend this after the fact by putting this tweet from CNN's Caitlin Collins at the top of the piece. However, the fact remains that this was a supposed scandal for more than a news cycle or two. And not only that, but a supposed scandal fueled by what Melania's husband, President Donald Trump, was fond of referring fake news. Even commentators who acknowledge Melania had changed out of the shoes before she arrived in Texas tried to paint her as out of touch for wearing the heels in the first place. Meanwhile, in 2022, we have First Lady Jill Biden, sorry, Dr. Jill Biden, visiting Florida with her husband to survey the damage left by Hurricane Ian. You might not have heard about her footwear choices as she left, but because we're coming so much, I'm pretty sure you can guess at what she was wearing. Those, you will not be surprised to learn, are not galoshes, and yet no one seems to be lashing out with outrage over this one. The frothing mainstream media coverage, absent. The puff pieces about how Jill Biden's heels made her look like she was about to invite the gals out for some mimosas and avocado toast on Sunday morning, not so much. Conservative Twitterers, however, had longer memories. One said, not for nothing, but remember this one? It had a picture of both of them. Another, Stephen Miller, says, just an observation. And he posted both pictures. That's author and conservative media personality Stephen L. Miller, noting the disparity in heel disaster coverage between our last two first ladies and the legacy media despite nearly identical circumstances. But he wasn't alone. Another one said, I'm told by reliable sources that Jill Biden is wearing kitten heels as she leaves for the trip to visit hurricane-damaged Florida. Another one says, not stilettos as Melania Trump wore in 2017 that triggered the haters when she went to Texas to view damage from Hurricane Harvey. That was Charlie Spearling. Perhaps the performative outrage and soft misogyny visited upon Melania in 2017 takes a while to percolate, and you'll start seeing furrowed brow think pieces in the Times and Washington Post about Jill Biden in the next few days. But I don't think so. And in parentheses, it says Jill Biden's kilted heels are, after all, just short stilettos. Holdeth not thy breath. Having the ought to underline what Hazel felt would have said the heelgate, like so many other pseudo-scandals during the Trump administration, had nothing to do with an actual offense or faux pas, but instead with the predetermination that there needed to be a Trump-related outrage involved with every major news story. There wasn't any outrage to be found. There wasn't even a story, period. And 5 years later, the mainstream media has confirmed this by not covering Jill Biden doing the same exact thing. I have, over the last year, pointed out the hypocrisy of the left and all the things that they do, and they don't seem to even notice it, even when it's brought out to them by media that they actually hear about. They don't hear anything. They don't change. They don't say anything. But they continue doing exactly the same things that they've always been doing without any inflection about what they did before, what they did while Trump was in office. It doesn't matter. And it's like bringing a boy says, it's only misinformation when we say something. And that's how they work. I today watched a thing about how Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany. And it started in the 20s. I think it was 1920 when he first tried to do anything. And the things that the media and the things that went on there absolutely screamed liberalism at me every time that they would do something to push Hitler farther into power. It reminded me of the things that the Democrats are now doing to make sure that the Republicans never get back into power. They used the media, they used symbols, they used photos, they've used radio, they've used television. Just like the Nazis did before World War II even started. That's exactly the same things that they were doing this whole time that Hitler was working to get to be in power. Everybody who dissented with them either lost their jobs or ended up in a concentration camp. And bring the thing. It's the left doing this. How ironic. And the ironic part about this whole thing is the fact that they are telling us it was Trump who was Hitler-like. That it was Trump who was doing everything that was reminiscent of Hitler's coming to power. But from everything that I saw on this show, and I saw it three or four times today because they kept replaying it, and they might have replayed it just because of the fact that it was so blatantly obvious what was going on, is the same thing that's going on now, that every time something went against the Nazi party in Germany, they quelled it. They got rid of it. They pushed it down. They would not let it get out. What's going on to us today? Parents teachers' meetings are being told they're nothing more than terrorists, that they have no rights to tell these school board people what to do. And the reasons why they're doing it is because the parents have no rights. Really? I watched a thing today from a parent who came to a school board meeting in the same outfit that some guy wore in a drag queen show that the school put on for the children. And she was saying that she felt almost humiliated to have to wear this. But she said that it had to be done because if the schools would allow this kind of thing in the schools, then if her outfit was turning heads and making people mad, that it should be. Because the same things are being shown to kids, and they should never have to see things like this. Knew the children were the future. Why do you think the left and the school boards and the schools and the public schools are doing so much to indoctrinate our kids? Because they are the future. And it's to me, it is one of these things that you have to be Satan revisited to do these kind of things to children. And they do it to them all the time. To me, it is really sad that our children are being used as pawns for the Democrats' future in this country. And a lot of the people don't even realize this is going on. Now, how they cannot realize it's going on goes right over my head. I can't understand this. If they have kids in school, they should know exactly what's going on. But most of them don't. Most of them don't care. Most of them have their own lives to live. They figure that all they have to do is just send their kids to school and they don't have to put up with them for 8 hours. Which brings us back to what Bringing It Boy said. The funny thing is the left are doing that it's true. The left are doing this. And they're doing it, but they're accusing everyone else. And everything that went wrong when it came to Hitler, he blamed on everyone else. Well, what is the left doing when things go wrong for them? They blame everyone else. Not who should be blamed. They're blaming the MAGA Republicans. Biden said that in his last speech. And it's like Bringing Up Boy says, the mainstream media is not telling the parents. Well, they're not, you know, the teachers are not telling the parents on what's going on at schools. As a matter of fact, they want the parents completely out of it. They don't want the parents to even be involved. And then there was another story that I found on One America News today about the Uvalde, Texas school district. They had that shooting. Remember that not too long ago? They just got through suspending the entire police force to get them off of the campus. It says Uvalde, Texas school district has announced that it has suspended its entire district police force. This comes 5 months after the deadly shooting at Robb Elementary, which left 19 students and two teachers dead. So what are they doing? They're asking for it to happen again. If you want the truth, it says the district remains committed, it says, to resolving issues with verifiable evidence. Decisions concerning the USISD Police Department have been pending, and the results of the Texas Police Chiefs Association and the JPPI investigation. Recent developments have uncovered additional concerns with the department operations. It was also announced that the district has requested members of the Texas Department of Public Safety to be temporarily stationed on campus. Well, at least they're doing that. This move comes one day after the school district fired Crimson Elizondo, who was the first PS for failing to follow standard procedures. She was one of the first on the scene. And she was recorded on body cam saying, if my son had been in there, I would not have been outside. I promise you that. The May 24th shooting caused outrage and sparked many questions about the district police force. Although members of the force arrived early on the scene, the shooter was not approached for 77 minutes. And this was wrong. This was wrong. But, hey, what can I say about that? Another one from One America News is that thing that Obama had put in, DACA. The DACA policy has been ruled illegal, but it remains in place. It says a federal appeals court has ruled against Obama-era immigration policy that a three-judge panel in Louisiana ruled that the first child arrivals violate the law. I've been saying this forever, ever since they first tried to put this in there. The court affirmed a 2020 district, Texas District Court. The DACA program provides administrative relief and deportation protection to immigrants who entered the United States unlawfully as children. Now, they keep, you know, people like Pelosi and Schumer and Biden and Harris all keep telling us all that these people are not criminals. But let me put it this way. If the first thing you do when you step it, put your foot inside a new country, if that first thing you do is illegal, you're a criminal, period. I have always felt that way. And it and the media and the police should feel that way about it too. The first thing they do when they step into this country, if they get in, if they get here illegally, they're criminals, period. But it says those in the program can apply for a driver's license, social security number, and work permits as opposed to a legal path to citizenship. The Texas ruling stated the program was a case for of presidential authority overreach due to Congress not giving the executive branch the power to grant mass reprieves to Dreamers. To note, the court did not cancel the program for current recipients. The program is allowed to remain as is, but it cannot receive new applications while it is under review. To me, folks, this whole idea that if you break the law, c'est la vie. We used to be a country of laws. We're not anymore. Haven't been since Obama was president. Well, we had a little bit of a reprieve there when Trump was in there. But during the whole time Trump was in there, we had the Democrats pushing things like P-Gate and all this other stuff and the other crap that they pushed against him, and all of it has been disproven. All of it has been proven that it wasn't true, yet they still continue. They still push it. They still keep saying that Trump was the criminal. And now we have the FBI coming out and saying that Hunter Biden has now, they have now found enough stuff to push criminal charges on him. The only problem with this whole thing is that the charges that they want to push on him are nothing. They're not pushing that he actually did. They're just pushing the littlest things that they can get away with and not have to worry about damaging their precious Biden presidency. The problem with the Biden presidency is the fact that it's a farce from day one. Biden had been in office, in government office, for about 49 years before he became president. He did not do a single thing worth having, worth doing in those 49 years. And now he's proving to us almost daily, almost hourly now, that he still can't do anything worth doing. But a lot of people don't ever hear anything about it. Because why? Because the media covers up for him. One of the things that I've been noticing here in New Mexico is that we have a couple of good Republicans running for office here. And in national conservative media like Newsmax and Breitbart have even mentioned the fact that New Mexico's race this year has a really good chance of changing New Mexico to red instead of blue. The headline on Pinion Post today said, the national outlet shines light on New Mexico's border crisis as an election issue. While most of the mainstream media content is content to ignore the border catastrophe happening in New Mexico, a safe haven for criminal aliens and drug cartels, only a few news outlets such as Fox News have even dedicated a few minutes to the crisis of the state's poorest borders. New Mexico remains the lone illegal immigration free-for-all between Arizona and Texas, two states that have beefed up security on the southern border, even going so far as to allocate state funds to finish President Trump's border wall. The wall proved during the Trump administration to be a massive success. But you never hear that from the left. You never hear that from the left. It says, but now, with gaping holes being left for the illegal aliens, human and drug traffickers, and even some terrorists to jump through with ease, the crisis has required a real robust response. Such a response has not come to fruition under Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, the Wicked Witch of the North. Just the opposite. During her first few days as governor, she pulled the state's National Guard from the southern border, further exacerbating the issue. She has parroted open borders rhetoric, which has led municipalities like Santa Fe and Albuquerque to declare themselves so-called sanctuaries for criminal aliens. The Washington Examiner highlighted New Mexico in a piece published Thursday, focusing on the state's governor's race being a potential game changer to help stop the spread of deadly fentanyl and close off illegal immigration numbers, which have risen to over 2 million apprehensions just this year. The outlet reported there is an additional reason New Mexico attracts more illegal crossovers than its neighbors. Federal agency classifications that can keep the state's profile low when it comes to illegal immigration. There are no U.S. Customs and Border Protection sectors in New Mexico, the fifth largest state by landmass at 121,365 square miles. Texas has multiple border sectors, along with Arizona and California. Even Vermont, the seventh smallest state at 9,249 square miles, has its own sector up north along the U.S. border with Canada. There are three border crossings in New Mexico compared to six in California, six in Arizona, and 20 in Texas. Even though at 779.5 miles, New Mexico's border with Mexico is longer than that of California at 140 miles. That lesser amount of federal border resources put into New Mexico has become a major campaign focal point for Ronchetti, who is running as a Republican. New Mexico has to pick up the slack from the federal authorities, argues Ronchetti, a former television weatherman who was the 2020 New Mexico GOP Senate nominee, losing to then Representative Ben Ray Lujan, Democrat in New Mexico, by a 6-1 percentage point margin. Ronchetti is up against an experienced candidate in Lujan Grisham, who won the New Mexico governorship in 2018 after 6 years in the House representing the area's first congressional district. He wrote that Lujan Grisham could very well be defeated, saying Lujan Grisham, however, may be vulnerable. In addition to taking heat over border policies, Lujan Grisham drew a wave of negative headlines early in COVID-19 pandemic. In May of 2020, she was criticized after purchasing jewelry from a store in Albuquerque once she ordered all non-essential businesses to be closed. In response, the governor's office said the transaction was done remotely and didn't violate the order. Well, the problem was cameras showed her there. It also added, if Ronchetti ousts the governor, he'll need to only look south toward the border to know why. what we have here in this state, what difference does it make anyways, HRC quote. Yeah, that's what difference does it make anyway? Oh, I don't know. The Democrats seem to think that all they have to do is just push the ideals of what is going on out of reality into what they want to be reality. I heard Michelle Grisham on the radio yesterday, and she was talking about how great she has done here in New Mexico as governor. The person who was interviewing her, of course, didn't bring up the fact that over 40% of small businesses here in New Mexico are now gone forever because of her policies. Something that should have been brought up. If I'd have been the person interviewing her, I'd have brought that up. But of course, this guy was not anything but a liberal anyway, probably. He thinks that what, you know, he even after the interview was talking about electric cars and said that it's the future. We need to start right now. Cars are the future. They're not ready for prime time now. There's too many things still wrong with them. Our electrical grid cannot handle them. And then we had a story on Newsmax the other day that was talking about a man who had bought a $275,000 electric Hummer, and he didn't even get it home before it quit running. They showed the dashboard, and it said that there was still 79% in the battery. It would not move, not go anywhere. I don't know who you are. I paid $175,000 to buy it. It damn sure had better get me where I'm going. But this guy had to call a tow truck. And then we're finding out that, with and I reported on one of these few months ago about a fire in one of these things. Fire departments cannot use water on them because the water won't put them out. So they're having to find new ways to put out fires. They have to make sure that they have the correct stuff on their fire trucks if they have to go out to put out a fire in electric cars, because water won't do it. And water is the thing that really is readily available. All they have to do is get out their hoses, hook them to a fire hydrant, and turn it on, and there comes the water. Do we have any fire hydrants that have the chemical that has to be used in an electric car? No. Do we have fire trucks to have this stuff to put out electric vehicle fires in electric cars? No. We don't. Have they even thought about this before this started happening? No, they didn't. All they were after was to put electric cars on the road, get rid of gas cars. First government official that comes to my house to take my Mustang away, they're going to have a fight on their hands because they ain't getting it. And even my wife's Hyundai Veloster, they won't get it either, because those cars will get me around a hell of a lot better than an electric car will, because an electric car is still experimental, just like the vaccine that they've had to force all of us. It was nothing more than experimental. And where are we going with that now? We still have people who are losing their jobs for not getting the vaccine, even though Biden has stated that the this whole thing with COVID is now over. It's not a pandemic anymore. But we still have people losing their jobs because they are not getting the vaccine. A lady who lives in this apartment complex now, she was telling me the other day that she caught COVID. She's had 3 shots. She's going to get her 4th booster soon. She asked me if I've had COVID. I said, yeah, I got it when COVID first came out. I thought it was a cold. Had it for a day and a half, and I was over it. Her next question, have you gotten the shot? I said, nope, and I won't either. I've got the best immune system when it comes to COVID right now that I can get. God gave it to me, my immune system. It now has the antibodies for COVID. And even if COVID mutates, it's still got the antibodies because the antibodies that are there will mutate to the point where they will be able to take care of anything else coming their way. But with these so-called experimental vaccines that are being pushed on everybody, if a new variant comes out, you have to get a new booster shot. And even if a new variant doesn't come out, you still have to get a new booster shot. It's insane, folks. This is totally insane. We will be right back.
Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
We'll be right back after these important messages. Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. This has been fun. It really has been, because the things that are going on now in our government are just insane. And nobody seems to even care. No one seems to even want to say anything about it, except for, you know, like people on Newsmax who I played Chris Salcedo's monologue for yesterday on this, and he was talking about the schools, what the Democrats are doing to our schools, and how if you've got a student in a government school, you need to be watching what is going on. Because if you don't, your kids are going to be taught things that they shouldn't be taught in the first place. They won't be taught the things they need to be taught. And they're going to come out of school completely uneducated, except for the fact that they'll now be indoctrinated. He mentioned the fact that every tragedy that is in the United States was it started with a control burn, which is what forests need to keep from having this dense underbrush that becomes so hot it cannot be put out. Well, that's what New Mexico was doing. They were doing this prescribed burn, control burn, and it got out of hand. Well, it probably got out of hand because they hadn't done it enough, and they had this underbrush there that caught, and that was the end of it. They had three fires that came together into one huge fire, and the whole north part of the state now has got this big burn area, and they're having problems with flooding up there now because of it. But the people who are doing these things need to realize what is going on. I found a song where Dan Noon is saying you have to go with what's in.
Get to our first guest, former California Congressman and CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group, Devin Nunes. Congressman, it's always fantastic having you here. Just weeks before the election, Saudi Arabia is sending a clear message by backing massive cuts to oil output. This after Joe Biden went to Saudi Arabia to beg for more oil this summer. But after his fist bump failed to secure all that, the White House now says, well, that trip was never about oil. I thought once Democrats were in power, the U.S. would be respected again, Congressman. How's that all working out?
Look, this started a long time ago. People forget that they were very critical, the Democrats, especially Biden, were very critical of the Saudi kingdom. And, of course, none of these kingdoms, none of these dictatorships are perfect. But Republicans and many others argued at the time, including the Trump administration, that said, look, slow down here. There's, and I think Trump said something to the effect of, you know, people do bad things all over the world. And, of course, the fake news went totally nuts and said, oh, my God, how is he not condemning this? Well, look, there are dictators all around the world. They are bad. They do a lot of bad things. But we have had a great relationship with the Saudi kingdom for decades. And for the Democrats to demagogue them and attack them over and over and over again, and then all of a sudden they decide to implement their climate hysteria, their global warming, their worshiping of the green gods, and essentially shut down pipelines construction for oil and gas in this country, shut down new drilling, and miraculously believe that we're going to import enough windmills and solar panels from China to solve this problem. And then when it doesn't work, then you run back over to Saudi Arabia, and guess what? You know, they saw what happened after 40, 50 years working closely with the United States of America, what the Democratic Socialist Party did in this country, and I think the Saudis want nothing to do with it. And I think if you're the Saudi Arabian government, they're in business. They don't see the United States as a reliable partner at this point. So they're like, hey, we're going to do what's best for us. And, you know, there's that old famous saying that countries always do what's in their best interest. Well, for decades under both Republicans and Democrats, especially the last Trump administration, the Saudis believed it was in their best interest to work with a popular ally and a reliable ally like the United States. Clearly, Chris, they don't believe that anymore, and I think that's what you see the Saudi government doing, and that's what caused this to happen. And that's why right down the street from my house, I'm now paying $6.50 in California.
Yeah. Gas here. Our governor has been touting the fact that gas has been coming down for a while. Well, over the last week, it's gone up about 20 cents a gallon. And, of course, when gas prices go up like that, Democrats don't say anything. They don't say a word about it. And when somebody does happen to bring it up, they say, well, it's not a permanent thing. We here in America have had our politicians lie to us, and it's getting to the point now where if you've actually been watching what was going on, you're probably starting to wonder, do they know what the truth really is? Do they even know how to tell the truth? Most of them, I do not think they do. I know Nancy Pelosi probably hasn't told the truth in years. Biden probably hasn't told the truth in years. Harris is another one. Probably hasn't told the truth in years. McConnell is another one. McConnell will say something and go say something that is actually good and then turn right around and speak and go completely in the opposite direction. That's not the kind of politician that we need. Do not need the kind that flips and flops all over the place just to stay current with what is going on. The best politicians that we can have is somebody who will follow the laws of this nation, follow the Constitution, and go to Washington as a representative of the people. We don't have that anymore. And the ones that are actually doing what they should be and following the laws of the country and follow the Constitution and trying to be a representative of the people are far and few in between. Donald and Lizzie Stone and Harris, all of them will sashay them out and say, these are the worst people you can have in government. When if the truth was told, the ones saying that these are the worst people are actually the worst people. How Biden can think that he is actually a voted-in president of the United States is beyond me. He's so far gone in his mental faculties now, I don't think he even realizes he's in Washington, D.C. half of the time. I don't think he even realizes he's in the White House half the time. But he's just like all Democrats that I have met and that I have tried not to meet. They have an agenda. They want to push it on everybody. They don't care what this agenda of theirs does to the country. They just want it. They don't care that they're pushing us towards communism and socialism, because that's exactly what they want. They don't want law and order. They don't want the Constitution. They don't want America as a freedom-loving country. They want America as a dictatorship where they're in charge of everything. And this is something that the people have got to start realizing, because if they don't, things are going to get much, much worse. And they're going to get worse faster and faster all the time. All we have to do is just sit there and look at what's going on. Perhaps right now, years ago, would not have happened. They might be happening in the background, but the people who would be doing them 20 years ago, 30 years ago, would be doing them in behind closed doors. They wouldn't want the people to know about it. Now they don't care. They've gotten away with so much right now that they don't care. They think they have the right to do what they are doing. And mark my words, if another Republican gets into the White House, they've got a blueprint for how to get rid of them because of what they did to Trump. And it won't matter who the Republican would be. They will do the same things to them, and they will do it because the American people allowed it. By the time people started to say, they already were a couple of years into it. They were thinking, oh, well, they're starting to grumble, but let's go anyway. Let's continue doing this anyway. The American people have got to wake up and realize that we are their bosses, not the other way around. And we have to start acting like their bosses. If they do something wrong, let them know it. Under no uncertain terms, if they don't stop this, they're going to be taken out of office. And we have the power to do that. Convention of States gives us that power. But we won't use it because we're afraid to. We won't use it because we might do something wrong. We might offend somebody. And the way I look at that is, who the hell cares? If they're that easy to be offended, then by all means, offend the hell out of them. And there are people that I've met who have been, all you have to do is look at them the wrong way and they're offended. I had some lady today pull in beside me. I was waiting for my wife to come out of Great Clips. She went in to get her hair cut and I didn't want to go in, so I sat out there. And the parking spot right beside me was a handicap spot. These two girls pulled in. Both of them got out of their car. No problems at all. Neither one of them looked handicapped. And I told the one girl, I says, that's a handicapped parking spot. And she gave me this weird answer. And I can't remember what it was now, because it had to have been a lie. And then after I told them that was a handicapped parking spot, she said that she was allowed to park there because she had some kind of problem with her legs. She was walking fine. But then she turned around and says, well, what about you? And I said, well, I'm not sitting in a handicapped parking spot, for one thing. And they just walked off. But the idea that people think they can get away with anything they want comes from the Democrat Party, comes from the politicians we have in office today. And I'm even including the Republicans on this one, because there are so many out there that see what is going on, see what is happening that is illegal, and no one stops it. No one says a thing about it. No one puts a stop to any of it. And it's getting to the point now where they're probably sitting there laughing about it, saying, well, why should we stop it now? We haven't been stopping it for 3 years now. Why should we stop it now? We caused 99% of this, so why stop it? Just let it continue. Let's continue destroying this country until it's nothing but refuse on the world stage. And that's what they're after. That's what they're pushing this country into, being a trash heap on the world stage. And there are people out here that have much more oomph than this one does, hoping that ones that do come in, I thank God for them. But there is so much that is being put out here by the media that nobody ever hears, that if you're totally uninformed now, it's because you're listening to the legacy media, the lamestream, lying, liberal media that will not tell the truth, even if their lives depended on it. Right now, CNN is the lowest they've had in ages. They're firing people now who have been with them forever, because they're not doing the right things to bring in more people. The only way to bring in more people, and this is directed straight at CNN, the way to bring people back to your network is to tell the truth. But you've been lying about everything for so many years now, I don't think you'd know how to tell the truth, even if somebody came in and gave you instructions on how to do it. It totally amazes me and how much misinformation we have here in this nation. And it's all caused by the legacy media. They're starting to call themselves the legacy media now. And all they are is just the lamestream, lying, liberal media. They do not know the truth and wouldn't know it if it slapped them in the face. But they continue pushing the same ideals. They continue pushing the ideals that the American public is stupid and we don't know what is going on. And then they get completely lambasted because they get hit with a bunch of American people who know what's going on, and we let them know. It's the same thing with these school board meetings where parents will come in and tell these school board meetings people that they don't know what they're doing and that the children need to be watched by someone other than them. And what happens? The school board calls the cops and throws the parents out. And it's getting hilarious because so many of them are not going anymore. They're continuing to throw themselves at the mercy of the liberals, I guess, if you want to call it that, and letting these liberal teachers, people, know that the parents are right, school boards are wrong, teachers are wrong. Had kids in school right now, I'd pull them out. I wouldn't allow them to be in a public school. Being here in Albuquerque, the church that I go to, Legacy, has what they call the Legacy Academy, and they have schooling from, I think, third grade up through high school. I'd put my kids in there. They'd get a better education. They wouldn't be indoctrinated. They would come out of school knowing stuff, and they would not be a liberal pawn. They would actually know American history. They would actually know why America was founded. They would actually know what America stands for. Thank God I don't have kids in school now. We are coming up on the top of the hour. I will stop for a few moments and do my messages, and I'll be back in a couple of moments. Well, I guess not. I was just getting ready. So I will continue this. I just went and typed to Bringing It Boy that BTR just told me my show ended. And if she and if he still hears me, let me know. I'm not really sure if I, because I can't play any of my stuff now because everything went to just like it, like I just went off the air. So if I'm not there anymore. God bless you all for being here. I will be here next week. For my next show, I will be here on time, and I will do everything the way it should be. And I'll talk to you guys later. God bless America. God bless our troops, and I'll see you again next week. Have a good night. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.